Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 3. Hit them low. Hit them high. Watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Good evening. It is Monday, and I had to play that one more time just to emphasize the mood that we are in right now. Boom. No more pre-show banter. We're in the show now. The show has begun. Welcome, everyone, to the Where Eagles Dare podcast, coming to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Glad that you're with us for another Monday on really probably the best Monday of the entire season. If you haven't heard by now, the Eagles have clinched a playoff spot after their comeback victory over Washington yesterday afternoon. What a crazy Sunday. So, yeah, we had to start off with a little bit of the Fly Eagles Fly from our It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia crew. And while we're at it, let's let the regular music play, too.
Fly Eagles Fly.
That is right. You got to love it. It is what we, you know, the thing is, this team started off 2-5, and we dealt with it. We didn't think at one point we might play that song very much during the regular season. We didn't think it was going to happen, but we saw this though. You and I saw this. We started talking about this. Long before the bye, we started looking ahead at the schedule and going, look at this schedule. If they can win a couple of these games, and the Saints game was the key. The Chargers was too, and they didn't win that game. But we were like, man, if they could beat the Chargers and the Saints, look at, we got the Jets, we got the Giants twice, and we got Washington twice. We could be in with a chance, and here we are.
Absolutely.
How you feeling? Look at that.
I'm feeling good, man. Birds gorgeous. Flying high. I'm feeling good, man. I'm really excited, man. Just a good year, man. Just a good turnaround to the year. It was a really good feeling, man, to see the Birds clinch the playoff spot, man. Absolutely, man. We are back. So, you know, we get to watch our Birds another week. It's always good, man. Yeah. Another week of football with, you know, with you watching your team, not just some other team playing the wild card spot. I don't care where we land, 7 or 6. Really excited, man. And you know, to your point, you know, looking back on the games that we forecast, we say, you know, a lot of things go in our favor here. We're staying on the East Coast. We're staying in that tri-state area. You know, even if we have injuries, I think this is probably why our guys are bouncing back from injuries a little bit faster, because they haven't left that area. You know, a lot of able to get treatment without all that travel and whatnot and the COVID protocols that come with the travel. So yeah, we predicted it, man. That was like, man, you know, only thing I regret, I wish I didn't get down too bad it's hard not to when you're sitting at 2-5 and the Cowboys are 6-1 and you think you still got a shot at it. But man, I hate to go back to it, but if we're one Giants game or Chargers game away from playing the Cowboys for the same record this week, playing the Cowboys to split the division or see who wins the division. Man, I mean, from where we've come from that 6-1 start to we could have, you know, that Giants game, a Chargers game, a Niners game away from playing the Cowboys for the same spot and having the division title. That's something nobody even dreamt about with the Eagles being predicted to get about 4 wins this year. So all in all, with a week to go, and we've already clinched 14. That's supposed to win 4 games, man. I'm really excited and really grateful, man, how this year played out for the Birds, man.
You said it all. I mean, we can think about what could have been had we beat the Niners. They lost to them 17-11. And then, you know, we got blown out by the Cowboys in the first round, and that really sucked. But it exposed a lot of things, and I think they've learned from that. And then the Chiefs game was a back-and-forth game. When they beat the Panthers, which was a game they had to have on the road, you could kind of see them getting into it. But then you end up losing two straight to Tampa Bay and Las Vegas, and Gannon's defense was just absolutely shredded in those games. And I think at that point, I think we were at our lowest. I'm a very negative Eagles fan. I try not to be, but I get so crushed when they get down. And I felt like, okay, well, let's look at the draft. They were 2-5. We've got 3 first round picks, but we didn't give up because we knew we had the Lions coming up, and the Lions will cure any slump that you're in whatsoever. At least we thought so. And I think what's that game when they just put a whipping on them, it started everything rolling. And then you mentioned the Chargers game. It was, I'm doing like a year in review, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Chargers game is a game they should have won. It was, again, the defense gave up a lot of yards to Herbert, mm-hmm. and that was the big problem. I think that they stayed with them offensively. The Chargers defense isn't that great, so it was a big shootout.
And we were up at the half.
Yeah, exactly, and should have won that game. And we allowed a late field goal to win it,
mm-hmm.
and you win that one. And, of course, the 13-7 loss in New York, which was just inexcusable. But outside of that, mm-hmm. you look at what they did do. Going into Denver was huge. Because Denver is right there with some of the contenders. Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they've been playing teams hard. And they went into Denver and won 30-13. They didn't just win in Denver. They dominated in Denver. They dominated the Saints, at home. Our first home win of the season. Hard to believe, but the first home win was back in what week? Was that week 11, I think, that we got that. And then it just goes from there. You lose to the Giants, and we knew going into the Jets game we had a bye. And then here we are coming out with, they had the COVID ripped Washington. It's just the last few weeks from, it's been a blur. It's been like, wow, we just keep winning. And 6 out of the last 7 games, it just keep winning. And granted, you they're weaker opponents, but you can't do anything about who's on your schedule. You just have to beat them. And there nobody else is doing it. And like I said, we've still got the Saints trying to get in. Mm-hmm. And so they're a playoff contender, and that was a key win. To me, out of all of them, that was one of the most key wins mm-hmm. that we had, because we didn't play right. Ian Book. We played Trevor Siemian.
Right.
And I'm sure they'd love to have him right now.
Yeah, man. Teams are going to have letdown games, even the best teams. Like, look at Tampa. I hate to keep going back to Tampa, but when you have Tom Brady, you're always going to be looked at. Tampa has some letdown games. They almost lost to the Jets
right
this weekend, a team that we had no problem with. No. problem with. They almost lost to the Jets. They played that same team we played. They almost lost to them. They lost to a Saints team that we beat. Well, they lost to a Washington team that we beat twice. I know we beat a COVID Washington team, but the second, that was their regular squad, minus Gibson. But even when they played the Cowboys last week, they still didn't have any of their starting linebackers. So we had the full, they only had about 6 players out. And that right. was including Gibson. So we played Washington this week. Like that was their real team. We were just better than them.
Right.
They had their guys back. If Gibson played, it may have been a different game. Maybe the run game a little bit better. But I don't think Patterson did that bad.
Patterson and Smallwood.
yeah, man. And if we're gonna jump right into the game.
Well, before that, since you mentioned Tampa Bay. They, like you said, since they've lost, their top receivers, they're not as vaunted as they once were. And yes, they came back on the Jets and won, but we all saw what happened in that game. So that just has to lead us to our first I've got a couple of these this week, but it's going to be our first.
Okay. Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no.
Hell no, no,
to the no, no. Hell to the no, no, to the no, no, to the no, no, no.
the hell to the cause this week. We have to give. Usually, we try to relate this to the Eagles, but I couldn't help it this week because this was the story of the NFL.
100%.
Antonio Brown just taking everything off except for his pants and walking off the field in the third quarter of the game that the Buccaneers were losing, and the meme that we got says every day is a half day if you just effing leave.
Yeah, man. You know, people say he hasn't been right since that Vontaze Burfict hit.
Yeah,
he's been. You see so many memes online. They like, I think we need to really give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit for putting up with AB for 8 years. You exactly. know, just so many things. But a lot of people point back to like, man, I think he's really been different since that Burfict hit, man. Since he, I mean, that was a pretty vicious hit, man.
Yeah.
One for the ages, man. And one that changed football.
Right, right.
That hit changed football. You know, it's a couple injuries in our time that changed football. The Tom Brady hit. That put him out for the year. Now you can't hit quarterbacks below the knee. I mean, right. One hit on Brady, rules change. and then Vontaze Burfict. Vontaze Burfict is responsible for a lot of rule changes, but mainly the defenseless receiver hit.
Right.
So, yeah, man, that is hilarious, man. That was definitely the, you know, even when I saw it, I haven't started, and I was like, he's out for the game. I was trying to read what's going on. Wow, man. Wow.
And if it is something to do with CTE, which it very well could be, you know, he just because, you know, I've watched him since he came into the league. He never acted that way in Pittsburgh until it was time, like I said, after the Burfict hit and he was trying to renegotiate his contract. You know, he's doing all the commercials. Everybody loved Antonio Brown. And then all of a sudden, he turned into Chad Ochocinco. He turned into just a crazy or Terrell Owens.
Bell and Brown.
Yeah.
And it Bell and Brown just could not get right after Pittsburgh for whatever reason. Yeah. They didn't appreciate what they had in Pittsburgh because nothing has gone right for them. I mean, don't get me wrong. Antonio Brown won the Super Bowl. He did score in the Super Bowl. So that did go right for him. But you get what I'm saying. On a consistent basis, just everything about Brown's life has just kind of shifted where he's just always in the news for a lot of, you know, football and non-football things.
Yeah.
You know, just to the bigger picture of it. Le'Veon Bell, same way. It's just like, man.
Agreed. And so – like you said, though, you know, we've got a lot of teams in the NFC that the Eagles have got a chance at. The Rams have been up and down all season and struggled with the Ravens for a lot of that game. And the Ravens have struggled with everybody. So it's like everybody right now that's in this NFC playoff picture has a chance. So going into this game, you know, we were already at the point where screw the draft. We want in. We want in. Now, we don't know where the Eagles are going to go, but we want in. We want a shot. So they knew that they had to win at Washington, hope that the 49ers beat the Texans to eliminate some crazy tiebreaker that was out there, and then we needed the Packers to beat the Vikings to get them out of the way, and it all happened. And so, but the key was beating Washington, and I tell you what, I'm almost at the point where I'm going to stop watching the first half of Eagle games. I'm going to stop watching the first half.
Yeah, at least the first quarter.
Oh, I know. Good. What was going on? What's happening with these first halves?
Man, you know, in the last five games, the Eagles have been outscored 35-7 in the first quarter.
That's
the second,
crazy.
And in the second through the fourth quarter, because you know we do five games because that shows your form, right? They do that in soccer as well, right? Gives you a good snapshot of what form you're in. But in quarters two through four, we're like 39 to like 121 points.
And
so we are killing teams second quarter and beyond. The numbers speak for themselves, 121 to 39 points. But in that first quarter, we're 35-7. So the numbers are the numbers, you know. Our first quarters, we just haven't had good starts. And luckily, we haven't had just disastrous starts. But starting down 10-0, you know, this time is not due to a fumble. You know, one could argue it's due to a bad play call on that fourth down, you know, just starting with that, you know, we give it the drive. You know, I know Heineke had somewhat of a decent game, but you know what? And I know our defense caught a lot of flack in that first half, and they deserved it because of the scheme. But, you know, a couple of those throws that Heineke had were falling away off your back foot. Now, I know, granted, they were completed, but who coaches that as a smart play?
Mm-hmm.
Most people will say, no. You know, that's one of those plays you go, no. Yes. You know, so they got fortunate on a couple fall-away third downs, a couple missed tackles by our guys. Barnett had him dead to rights on one of those third downs.
And he juked
just whiffed. Just completely whiffed. And then another next guy steps up and he falls away. So it's like, your defense isn't necessarily getting killed. This is if Barnett just kind of breaks down and makes that tackle, it's a whole different ball game there. So it was a few plays Heinicke was fortunate on, man. A few of them he was fortunate on third down. But then, you know, when they scored that touchdown, you were just kind of like, oh, my God, we're down seven again. We're down again. Just another hole to Washington, you know, like we were 12 days ago. I don't know. What were you thinking at that time?
Well, you know, like I said, again, I was on the road, so I was watching on my phone, which wasn't optimal. But I had pretty good connection, so I did get to watch most of the entire game without interruption. And that first drive was so frustrating because of what Jonathan Gannon does. And it really, I will give the defense credit, but I will never give him credit. The defense played outstanding, especially in the second half. In the first half, he set us up for failure playing, because he vacates the middle. And that's what ends up happening when you put pressure on Heinicke and he has to throw falling away. Well, he's got receivers open everywhere because it's taking the Eagles so long to catch up to these guys. That one pass to Seals Jones, it was nobody around him. Heinicke's throwing off his back foot. Seals Jones just got to stand there and wait for it to come down because the Eagles play such a deep zone that they have to recover. They have to continually recover. Now, I watched the game back again today, and I noticed that the shift in that. My biggest problem with the Gannon defense is he puts guys 5 to 10 yards off the ball. The ball snapped. They go back even further, and the whole middle of the field is left open for slants or anything that they can get. And then what you have to do is if they get a 5-yard pass, you got to tackle them right there. Problem is that ain't what happens. Patterson, in the drive right before the half, Patterson was catching balls on the sidelines in the flat and then cutting up field and getting 10 yards. So that when you play that type of game, you're putting your defense in a bad spot. I did notice in the second half, because I was like, how did he change that up? The linebackers play a lot more shallow in the second half, and they weren't giving up that middle. So when the ball snapped, they're backing up, and then they're coming back down, which I thought was really good because it looked like they were vacating. And then you see all three of them, or two, depending on the formation, come back into that setup. And I'm like, see, Gannon, what bothers me about Gannon is that he knows. He knows what works. You can look at the first half and the second half and then look at the defense and what formations and what kind of schemes they were running. You could tell they were different. Then why do you always go to the bend but don't break? Why can't you play a little bit more of a hybrid and put some pressure on the quarterback? You know, when he was throwing a linebacker blitz at him or Maddox coming off the blitz, it was working. Heinicke was frustrated. Heinicke, when he had pressure in his face, and you know this from the stats, everybody talked about it. Heinicke with pressure in his face is erratic, and he throws interceptions. Why are you going to do a 4-man rush and just let him sit there in the pocket and be comfortable? So the first half for me, you know, I was texting you. I was like, this is infuriating because I thought Jalen Hurts in that first half, all things considered, played outstanding. Even though they were trailing and even though they weren't scoring points, he looked to me, and I can see it on my little phone like this, but it looked to me like he was the most relaxed. He was the most calm that he'd been the entire season. If he gets comfortable back there, if he gets this comfortable going forward, I think the rest of the NFL is going to have to watch out, because I don't think I've ever seen him that relaxed for an entire game. Because even when the drives didn't result in points, he was leading them to first downs. He was always trying to make plays. The only thing that tended to stop the Eagles' offense is they weren't getting much up the middle. The runs around the end were doing great. The runs up the middle to Boston Scott, not getting much, and they kept going back to it. But the tight end screen to Goddard was moving the ball. Devontae was making plays. Goddard had a great game. And then Hurts' scrambles, when it wasn't there, was always kept the ball moving. I never felt like the offense was out of it, even though the defense was giving up points. I know they went for it on fourth down. I wasn't happy about that. I figure, you know, you're down, get the three. But this is the NFL we live in now. The Eagles went for it, three times on fourth down and got two out of the three. So I can't argue with it when it works. It's just, it really, I'm like, man, I'd love to see if you're in a position to get points, get points. But I can't argue with the fact that when they went for it the other two times on fourth, it worked out.
It was definitely a little bit better. I thought, you know, I think the Eagles had three drives in that first half because they couldn't get off because Washington scored on every drive they had. So if you look at the three drives in total, I agree with you with Hurts. Now, granted, Washington has the 30th ranked pass defense. So, you know, there is some space there to have some success. When you think about the three drives. The first drive, it's a scoring drive, but it's based off the coach's decision now. Because that fourth and two, you kick the field goal, that's a scoring drive. Second drive, we get the touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know, but because of that decision on the fourth and two and the play call, we stretched it. It was so slow to develop. It's like a counter, and then we countered to the outside. And I'm just like, when is somebody going to get upfield to run? Like, Howard was just way too slow on that play. It was slow developing. It wasn't Howard. Howard just ran Howard straight downhill. The counter play was too slow developing. So I thought the play call just favored Washington there. And I wanted the field goal anyway because I was like, hey, man, let's start with some points because we've had struggles in the past getting points, starting fast, or just getting that up on the scoreboard. So when you don't get points and all of a sudden you're down 10, you know, uh-oh, here we go again. You know, they said it's the first time since the 80s that the Eagles have come back from two 10-point deficits in the first quarter. Crazy. Since the 80s.
Crazy.
So, you know, just knowing that, you know, get on the board there, and then they come back down and get the field goal, but they were still driving the ball again with ease, Washington was. And then we come back down, boom, we get our touchdown, and then next drive just kind of stalls, you know. But, hey, you're talking about three drives in the whole first half. Not a lot of rhythm that could be had there, but the drives that we did have, you know, Jalen Hurts kept it simple. Like we talked about coming into the game, protected the ball. Accuracy was off the roof, you know, about 7 for 8 or something like that. Not a lot of errant throws, not any errant throws really. And I thought that's what we needed from him. I think that ankle injury made him read a little bit better because he couldn't rely on his legs. Sometimes when you take something away, you know, you strengthen something else, you know.
He's like Daredevil. You
know, like if you lose your sight, your hearing increases. So if he lost, you know, that ability to go to his ankle, like his ankle is his check down. Like his legs are part of his check down. I don't think people don't know how incredible of an athlete that he is that, you know, he's still looking around like, I'm the best athlete on this field. You know, I'm pretty sure that's what he thinks. You know, I'm sure he has all the confidence in the world. His feet are his check down. So no, I thought Jalen did a good job. And then, you know, towards the end of the half, I thought, you know, they scored on every drive, which was annoying. That was so annoying. Every drive. I didn't think Heinicke necessarily played lights out. I just thought every quarter, who hasn't played well against us in the first half? Is my point. I mean, Gilbert still had a good percentage against us until we got him rattled in the second. But even Gilbert was out there completing boop, 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 100 yards first half. You know, who hasn't. So that's not special what Heinicke was doing. He didn't throw any touchdown passes. So we still kept him from completing his ultimate goal, which is the touchdown pass. So, but it's hard when you're giving up a lot of, when you know they don't have the running game, you know they don't have Gibson or McKissick back there, and we're still giving up yards to a rookie and Smallwood. And you're just like, damn, man. Come on, we know they're running the ball. We still can't stop it. That was part of the game where I got annoyed. Of course, I got annoyed with the passing scheme, but when we knew they were running the ball and we still couldn't stop it, that was like peak annoyance for me. You know, like
I get it.
Peak annoyance for me for that, man. So that was the only thing. I wish we could have went for three there, and I thought it kind of put us in this cycle that if you just watched that first drive where your defense didn't stop anybody, you might want to get points here, Nick. That's some of the things I think he needs to grow on.
I agree.
And the time management at the end of the quarter, I wasn't sure what he wanted to do. We had three timeouts. We knew they were running the ball, which we couldn't stop, which that was weird. But we weren't calling the timeout. I just didn't know what he was trying to do. Like, hey, man, well, get the ball back. Like, we have minutes, some change here. Are you even trying to get the ball back? So I think it's sometimes where I'm like, this is a young coach. I'm going to let him live a little bit. But what are you doing here? Are you calling timeouts to get the ball back or not? Like, what is up? So you know they're running the ball. And then they got so comfortable, then they only needed to make, like, really one big play. And then now they're in field goal range, and then fucking slide kicks us 55-yarder. Yeah, I was so annoyed by that, knowing we were getting the ball back in the second half, man. But we started out the second half good, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, like you said, the end of the first half, I think we were both of us furious because of the Washington was trying to run out the clock. They literally had no intention of going down and score points. You could see it. They were running the ball every down, and we're letting them gain first down because we're in that prevent. You got the linebackers back off the line of scrimmage, not lined up to stop the run, and so we're giving it to them. And then I looked at it when I watched it back today. There was 36 seconds on the clock, and Washington was at their own 30-yard line. and we still gave up a 55-yard field goal because of the that prevent. And that's when I think I texted you. If either Gannon's got to change or he's got to be fired or nothing's going to help us on defense. And I don't see anyone either thing happening anytime soon. Well, he did change in the second half, and that was big. But going into the first half, what was it? Heinicke was 14 of 17 for 170 yards in the first half. And that just can't happen. And in the second half, I was watching it back today. In the fourth quarter, with 9 minutes left, Heinicke had 186 yards. So he'd only gotten 16 yards up until that near the end of the game. Until that final drive, Heinicke was stifled in the second half. And so the way the Eagles' offense was flowing, even though there wasn't a lot of points being put up the board, they took over the game offensively in that second half. The first drive to come out of the second half was, again, all Hurts. I mean, he was hitting Goddard. He's hitting Smith. He had a couple of the other receivers. Of course, Jalen Reagor gives us absolutely nothing. In the first half, they tried to get him on a reverse. He can't even run a reverse right. He doesn't have any speed whatsoever. It looks like he's not even interested in running a play.
100%.
And I thought to myself when I was watching it back, I'm like, man, I'm watching Hurts hit Goddard and Smith, and maybe a Watkins here occasionally. Watkins had a drop. Ward had a one big catch. And I'm like, man, could you imagine if we had just one other guy
out there?
Just one other guy. No, I know we had Ertz. He couldn't stay. But one other wide receiver that could even be half as good, like a Michael Gallup, on the Cowboys. Somebody that doesn't have to be the star, but can be
Alan defender. Hazard or something like that.
Yeah, like Lazard in the Packer game. Like, exactly. Great point. So that first drive, I'm like, this is great. But, man, just think how good Hurts could be. And, we got a draft coming up, so we'll see. But this season has shown me that Reagor is just not it. He's not going to do it. And I got a little bit here. Just talking about New Year's real quick, a quick video where somebody's talking to the guy dropping the ball on New Year's Eve.
First time?
Yeah, you?
No, not my first time.
So you got...
It's fitting. It's fitting. Yeah. So him and Aguilar, man. Woo! They are legends in Philadelphia.
Aguilar wasn't near as bad as Rager's been, because at least Aguilar could make some plays. Jalen Reagor hasn't done anything. I mean, his stat line again was no catches again in another game. And
he needs to move on.
Exactly. In the return game, he's not giving us anything. But yeah, so just if those who couldn't see that are on the listening to the pod, just somebody saying dropping the ball on New Year's Eve first time, and then Jalen Reagor comes back. Yeah, no, it's not my first time. No, definitely not my first time dropping the ball. Not my first time. But but other than that, so that's all the negativity that we'll put out there for this game. Because once the second half hit, they're down 16-7. Get the touchdown, and I tell you what, you want to talk about chomping your fingernails? That fourth down call again. Here we are again, fourth and two on the goal line. We can't get anything on the ground. And then they do what was the right play call, because honestly, the run up the middle was not getting anything. Like you mentioned the Howard thing, the previous fourth down running Howard up the middle, it wasn't Howard's fault. It's just a bad play call because you're running into the teeth of the defense on fourth down. That's what everybody does. So the pitch out was the brilliant call, but the problem is Kelce steps on Hurts' foot.
Yeah.
And Hurts is falling down. And just to get it, the pitch off. And think of beauty. And then the dive in. It just reminds me, going back, we talked about it last week, but I got to throw this meme out there again with little Boston Scott. Yeah, Nick asked him to go on the field and save the season again. Two touchdowns for B. Scott, man. And
Puts him at seven. Yeah. Seven touchdowns on the year. That's a lot of touchdowns for the fourth string guy, if you will. You got Singleton, you got Gainwell, because he was behind Gainwell for a little bit. And then now he's in there. He's usurped Gainwell. But then seven touchdowns, man. That's baller, man. It was a lot of good plays, man. He's talking about Hurts. He had that 22-yard run on third and eight. Brilliant run to get us into the middle of the field. It was a lot of plays, man. A lot of third down plays that kind of kept us alive.
Right.
And we talked about Ward had two catches, but one of them was that 27-yarder on third and 14.
to the goal line, right? Yeah.
To set up the second. Was that the goal?
That was there.
That was the stop.
Yeah, that was the one where
Hurts fell back. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep. So on that drive, you know, we don't even get there. It was just two plays that Hurts made. Was the 3rd and 14 scramble play. And then even, you know, with the accident, he's still the poise that we talked about. He talked about the calmness. It's still just, no worry, Kelsey. I don't need my legs. I haven't used them a couple weeks anyway. So here you go. And just a perfect, the play never broke down. Because first you gasp, like, oh, you see your quarterback stumble. It's just disastrous. It's 4th down. It's not like it's 3rd down. It's 4th down.
Yep.
It's a turnover if he falls. If he just collapses and holds that ball, so that's all. That's it. Gets the pitch out and ball. And Scott even makes a good jump over Fuller. As Fuller tries to take him out low, dives right over top of him, untouched. Oh, Grogu himself.
Grogu, and, I love it.
man, it was just.
I want that Build-A-Bear. I want a Build-A-Bear that looks like Boston Scott because and Grogu. Yeah, because, Grogu. I mean, and literally, I mean, Sanders goes out, and we've dealt with this all year. We've had a revolving door at running back. We had Sanders go out. Howard came in. Howard goes out. Scott, you know, has to come in. Howard comes back. Sanders comes back. We're rich at running back. And then Sanders goes back out. And I think that going forward, we know Sanders isn't going to play on Sunday against the Cowboys because it doesn't matter. So you're not going to try to get him into this game. But we don't know whether we're going to have Sanders for that playoff game or not. Fractured hand is tough to come back from. And I still feel comfortable with Boston Scott and Howard back there, if that's who we got to go with, and a little bit of Gainwell, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man.
I think that I'd love to have Sanders. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have him. It'd be great. But I don't think that the Eagles can make any excuses if they don't have him. They've got the horses that can compete in a playoff game. So, yeah, the rest of that game, I did watch the defense, and I was impressed because the offense put up the points. Granted, it wasn't touchdowns. Could have used some touchdowns after that. Yeah. But our boy Jake Elliott, again, clutch again, a couple of 40-yard field goals, 42, 41-yard field goal in the second half when you know you have to make them. And if your kicker is making those 40-yard field goals for you, you know, I'm not so much worried if it's a 50-yarder. But, man, if he's making those 40-yard consistently, you're going to have a chance. And it just, once he got us the lead up to 17-16, you could breathe a little bit. But I was still worried about that defense. I was worried about what Gannon was going to do. But Gannon locked it down, and I got to give some shout-outs to some of the best plays we've seen on this defense from certain guys. I had to just to write them down so I wouldn't forget to mention everybody. Jannard Avery, again. You know, T.J. Edwards was good and disruptive, but Avery had a sack. Avery was all over the field and intense. I will say Josh Sweat, 2 sacks on the day. You're like disrupting Heinicke at every turn. And then the big one was for me was when the Eagles were down 14-16 and they get the ball back and Washington is driving. And Avante Maddox got that BS holding call. I mean, it was BS. And I'll talk about the penalty situation in a minute because I'm tired of the Eagles getting the shaft from referees. Absolutely. I'm really getting tired of it.
Absolutely.
And Avante got, that was a BS PI. I don't care what Mark Schlereth said. I think it was a good call. Screw you. It was not a good call. It was a horrible call. It was one of the worst PIs I've ever seen call. Boy, you saw Avante Maddox got mad. And if you watch the sequence of events, he's in on the next play to disrupt the play. Then he knocks down the ball in the 3rd down. Then on the 4th down, bam, knocks it down again. You could tell he was mad.
And he's coming in like a missile.
I couldn't say enough about Avante playing as well as he did, and those guys were great, and T.J. Edwards had a great job. Also got to give it up to Rodney McLeod there at the end. We were texting back and forth. He was there. You couldn't throw deep with him there, and that's the thing is Heinicke had the underneath stuff, but Harris and McLeod were balling out deep, and in fact, when you take a guy like McLaurin and you shut him down from a deep game standpoint, you're doing something. And I think the second half, that was huge to take that away from them. So, yeah, it was the defensive effort. Like I said, I won't give Gannon too much credit. I will if he just adapts his scheme. I'll give him all the credit in the world. But I will give the players the credit. This defensive team has outplayed their expectations.
Their coach. And they're outplaying their coach. Yeah. They're outplaying their coach right now. They're outplaying the scheme. You know, the biggest bright spot of the year came out of nowhere, man. You know, TJ Edwards, you know where Pro Football Focus has him ranked? So Micah Parsons is number one, right? You know where TJ Edwards is ranked? Seventh. He is ranked seventh. Micah Parsons number one.
Right.
You have TJ Edwards as of today, ranked the seventh best linebacker. I mean, that came out of nowhere, bro. From everything that happened, from getting rid of Eric Wilson to benching the captain, 49.
Singleton.
Benching Singleton for Taylor. Then Taylor gets hurt. Singleton comes back in. Singleton's been playing well, but TJ Edwards, Avery. Man, Avery's ability to track down and tackle is exceptional.
Yep.
Is exceptional. Because he had a really big sack on Heinicke, and Heinicke tried to juke him too, and he wrapped him. That was one of the biggest sacks of the game, the Avery sack.
Yep.
His pursuit, his tackle, he grabs him. You know, when you see a player old school, you know, rap and, you know, and go down, man. But TJ Edwards, man, how about that, man? Seventh, according to Pro Football Focus, man. That is pretty dope, man. Another spot I saw said Jalen Hurts is going to be the youngest quarterback to start a playoff game.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it's in NFL history or just this year, but it's the youngest start a playoff game, man. I forget how young Hurts still is, man.
You know, there's been this up and down.
He's at the same age that Carson was when he was still in college. I think he's just early. I think he's just an early guy. Carson was still in college at this same age. As far as just development goes, this shows you how much he still can develop, is my point on that.
I agree. And we've both been in agreement over his ability and, you know, like to say, and giving him leeway based on where he has it with his experience. Because right now his ability has not caught up with his experience level. He's getting that. They're starting to come together because his ability is amazing. And we know what he can do. I thought this game, coming from behind like he did, coming behind in the last few games, no matter what we do going forward, I think it's clear we don't need to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft. There's not a good enough class to. It's clear that he's got to be the guy going forward, and we shouldn't let him look over his shoulder in 22 for anybody. I don't care who it is. And I don't think
folks are saying the streets are saying Deshaun Watson's available. Why not? You already know how I feel. I just don't like the baggage that comes with it. I mean, the athlete is just, I mean, we're not talking about him playing football. We're just talking about everything. We want to talk about noise, little hard little turn. But we talk about, like, with Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel and the benching of Lukaku, because he said it's too much noise. We want to talk about noise. Woo! Yeah. Bringing Watson is going to bring a lot of noise. So much as I, man, like to have Watson, I do like to give him Oklahoma State. I thought he played really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see where Royce Young is in a couple years.
But yeah, and that's the thing, is I don't need a shiny new toy right now. I want what I've got.
Because
I can. I saw something on Sunday, and you've been seeing it throughout the year. But and I know he didn't throw for amazing numbers, but it was that poise and the leadership and being able to lead the team that made a difference. So looking at the stats from the game real quick, you know, the Eagles only had 18 first downs to Washington's 24. Third down efficiency, I mean, you look at these numbers, you would think that the Eagles lost. 9 of 15 on third down for Washington, 4 of 12. Fourth down efficiency is huge, though. Went for it on four fourth downs and got three of them. Total yards, 330 to 312. Passing yards, 212 to 218. Once, you know, we shut down Heinicke in the second half, except for that last drive, which, real quick on that last drive, Eagles in prevent mode, I was going nuts. Going nuts because Gannon was pressuring Heinicke all day, and then he backs off in the final 2 minutes. If McLeod doesn't come up with that interception in the end zone, God knows how that turns out. Luckily, they had a four-point lead, and Washington wasn't running the ball trying to set up a field goal. Thank God they needed a touchdown, because that's what it ended up leading to, and that was a great catch by McLeod. Can't say enough about that. Rushing yards, 118 to 94. Of course, the rushing game just was big in this one. So the big thing here is the penalties. I will say this. The refs in that game, they didn't throw a lot of penalties. They were letting them play, and it was obvious because there was a lot of grabbing going on. There was a lot of holding that was being missed. When you saw the close-ups of the trenches, man, there was some obvious holdings that were being missed. But the thing that upsets me is Washington, one penalty for 4 yards. You can't tell me that a professional NFL football team is only right. going to commit one penalty for 4 yards in a game. And the Eagles, 6 for 42. But they were, you know, we had a couple of Lane Johnson false starts. That was five each. I don't know what was going on with Lane in that game. But, you know, it was only a, you know, mild thing. It didn't really kill us. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, but the PI to Maddox was just horrible, especially when you consider that just the previous drive, Goddard got yanked to the ground, and they acted right. like they couldn't see anything. Like they were a blind guy on the street corner with a cup in his hand and a stick asking for change, because it was like, what the heck? Goddard sitting on the ground, like, how can you not see that? And it was very, again, the Eagles have dealt with it all year. And I think you get into these teams like Dallas and Washington and New York and these big markets, I don't know what happens to the officials. I don't know why the Eagles don't get that kind of respect. And I'm not asking for beneficial calls. I just want fairness. I just want it to be equal. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, no. Those are all really good points, man. I thought it was a little bit weird too. Like, not one single penalty. Even though the timing on the throw wasn't there. I don't think the throw was that bad. I just think the timing was obviously let Smith too much, but Smith is being held out of his break in the back of the end zone. His right arm is pinned down. I mean, he can't even turn to get his other arm down. His arm is pinned down, but then he kind of lets him go in good enough time. Then it just looks like a bad throw. But if you look, I mean, he's literally being held out of his break in the back of the end zone. So there's so many plays that they just conveniently missed. I thought Smith was grabbed a lot in that game. I thought he was grabbed a lot. Goddard, especially on that one play where Goddard comes out. And it kind of the same as the Smith play. Like, it was just an overthrow, like a bad ball. But if you really look, it's like it's a lot of disruption before our receivers. You know, it's a timing play. I'm sure it's probably a timing play as well, as that ball is coming out at a certain time, certain area, especially down on the goal line. It's a timing play. Boop, boop, boop. I know I only have small windows. It's 10 yards where the whole – I have 11 guys in a 10-yard spot, 50 space. Yeah. So, yeah, man.
I shouldn't complain because I don't want to see a game where they throw a flag on every down. And I do think the game had a lot of great flow because they didn't throw a lot of flags. I would have just liked to have seen a little bit of fairness on those flags. Why are you calling that horrible PI on Maddox when you're not calling anything on Washington on their grabs? You've got to let them play if you're going to do that. Now, granted, it fired up Maddox and everything worked out because he made the next few stops and then they went for it on fourth and didn't get it. So it is what it is. And the Eagles walk out of victory. And can't say enough about the entire team. I do want to point out one thing with Hertz's poise after the game. I don't know if you've seen this. This is a great clip.
Yeah, okay. Man.
You have to have seen it by now. So Hertz is walking out of the game. And I love this clip. This is the Eagle fan. But thank God. So he's walking toward the locker room for all you those that are listening to the podcast. Walking toward the locker room. And a bunch of Eagles fans are hanging over the side of a railing as Hertz shows up. And it just was insane. That's nuts, man.
That was brilliant, man.
It's not
bad. The poise. How the whole railing and about 10 people far right after you just like, you're just like, I see this all day, man. I got 600-pound guys. I got 300-pound guys chasing me. This is nothing. But you see how the guy on the right with the black hoodie, how he's down? But then he realizes that it's Jalen Hurts. He's like, can I get a picture? All of a sudden, he feels way better. All of a sudden, Jalen Hurts becomes the Robitussin. And everybody just feels better. They pop up. They all want pictures. It's crazy.
And Jalen just indulges them. You know, hey, if you're going to fall out the stands, you're going to get a picture. Man. And he's got a big smile on his face. Why wouldn't you? Yep. You just had a comeback win. You're one game away from the playoffs at that point. Imagine Jalen Hurts picking you up off the ground.
Right.
You fall out of the stands and then turn up, and that's who you see.
He gave away his gloves, his towels, and stuff to somebody. The one kid that had the helmet on, he gave him his towel. Then he gave the one dude the black hoodie that fell on him down there. And he gave him like his gloves and stuff like that. You see the dude with the Hurts jersey on, standing like, oh my God, like I'm face to face.
Could you imagine?
That was dope, man.
If they would have fell on him,
Unbelievable. That luckily, he has pads on. But luckily, he has pads on.
Ankle again.
Oh, man. 100%, man. Hey, if you what you don't see in the picture is there is a cameraman right underneath where that it falls on it originally. The cameraman actually kicks the dude in the black. I mean, it was kind of messed up to kick the guy. I mean, I understand, but there was a cameraman right underneath that railing, and he just moved to the side, and the railing hit his shoulder.
Unbelievable.
And he kind of fell to the side. It was crazy. They're all happy to see Jalen Hurts. The cameraman kicks the dude that jumps up. But, yeah, incredible poise, man. Incredible poise. Man, I'm sure the Eagles fans are gonna love that, man. That's Philadelphia type stuff.
It is.
Just being cool under pressure. Just being, you know, not they don't like you, so you rattle. They've tried to rally him all year. It hasn't worked. He said on his Twitter feed, I'm who God intended me to be. That's what his Twitter profile says. I'm who God intended me to be. So he's operating differently anyway. He's not worrying about all the noise. He has a good head on his shoulder. You could just tell, man. Tell, man. High character guy. He's everything you want, man. I think it's like it's crazy, man. You want a high character guy. You want a guy that's going to be available to the media. You got, you know, just now we're here in the playoffs, man. And anything can happen, man. I don't care, man. Look at the Giants. The Giants did it back-to-back. Eli was never considered an elite quarterback. He had some of his worst regular seasons, and somehow, some way, walked into the playoffs, walked into Lambeau, walked in all these places without even having incredible games. The Giants just somehow won every game. You can't name an Eli moment from those playoff runs besides not a moment. You can name the Super Bowl. But as far as him just killing teams and moving on, all you know is that the games were cold. Justin Tuck, they had an incredible, OCU Majora, was it? Mm-hmm. Strahan, you know, they just had an incredible defense, just incredible defense. You don't know how the Giants won those games, but somehow they have two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
People say the Eagles, you know, they're going to be underdogs all the way through. So should Lane Johnson bring the dog mask back out? Like, we've been here before. What are you talking about? We were underdogs, heavy underdogs on every game on the Super Bowl run. Every game.
As a number one seed. Yeah.
Underdog. That's why the dog mask came out.
Yep, exactly.
Man, we've embraced this before. We're in a dog fight. You showed me a team that is number one in the NFL in anything and is scared to play in the playoffs. At the end of the day, we're the number one run team against other NFL teams. We didn't play high schoolers. We play other NFL teams. We're number one. We've pushed around everybody.
Exactly. And
why would we be scared to go into the playoffs?
Exactly. And looking at the NFC playoff picture, this is what we got right now. We've got our division leaders. Everything's clinched except for the NFC West with the Rams and the Rams and Arizona going up against each other for that. So if the Rams lose and Arizona wins, Arizona can win that division. So the Eagles probably at 9-7 may not move very far up this list. They could if San Francisco loses and New Orleans gets in, but they're going to be around second or third wild card position. Probably will more than likely play the Rams or Tampa Bay, but we don't know. So we can't even speculate right now who what's going to happen because everybody on this list is in except for San Francisco and New Orleans. They're going to be going for that final wild card spot this coming weekend. But right now the Eagles are sitting pretty. They've got a spot wherever that's going to be. We know we're going to play one of those teams except for Green Bay that are at the top, and we just got to have, you know, be able to – if we get a rematch against Tampa Bay, the biggest thing for me is – they don't have those receivers, so I'm telling you, Gannon better play some high-pressure defense against Brady if we go up against Tampa Bay. If we go against the Rams, same thing. You know, we got a double Cooper Kupp and then come after Jared Goff. Look at what the Ravens did to him, even though I know they ended up winning that game. They pressured not Goff. What am I saying?
I know.
Goff.
I got you. Stafford. You know,
it's so hard to remember sometimes, but yeah, Matt Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, when he was with the Lions, he doesn't handle pressure well, just like Heineke. There's a lot of quarterbacks who don't handle pressure well. So I don't get why you wouldn't blitz him, at least bring five guys occasionally and try to ruffle his feathers. So depending on who we play, we got it. It is a chance. It depends to me on how Gannon plays the defense when we get into the playoffs. This week is irrelevant. You know, we're going to play the Cowboys. They may play starters. They may not. We'll see how that comes. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but I did want to point this out. This is the projected records by the USA Today Sports. This is where they had the Eagles going into this season. At 3 and 14 is where they predicted the Eagles' record. So for them to be right 9-7 at this point with one game to go, take that, USA Sport. And they weren't the only ones. I think everybody in the league predicted the Eagles would be last in the division. And, of course, the Cowboys are first, and they're right about that. But everybody mm-hmm. predicted Washington and New York to be better than the Eagles. This is supposed to be a rebuilding year. Supposed to be. We let Wentz go. They didn't have any faith in Hurts, and a lot of people didn't have any. We kind of wondered what we were going to get. We said first game of the season, we don't know what we're going to get, but we didn't think it was
going to be. That's all we've been asking for the whole season is to see what we can get. Keep making adjustments. That's the best thing we did throughout the year was make a lot of adjustments to tweak it to where we're at now. But, yeah.
So we start out.
Oh, you did put it on.
It's a great meme. I love it. Start off 2-5, need an ambulance, and then 9-7. But not for me. But pull out the me. Guns. Great. Great.
You're not bringing a knife to a gunfight. Eagles in a gunfight right now.
They deserve they what are, they got.
Pushing guys around. So it's a lot to be said about, like I said, man. You show me a team that has a number one in anything in the NFL ranked and scared to come in. So that means somebody is not, that's going to be somebody's weakness, is my point.
Exactly.
And one of the weaknesses, you know who the crazy team is that has that weakness, even though their line is, toast of the town, the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams don't stop the run that well. You don't want to pass. If we have them, Hurts is going to have a hell of a day with Von Miller off the edge and Aaron Donald coming. God, I can't.
Yeah.
Woo! Have to get the ball away very, very, very quickly. But Lane Johnson against Von Miller, Von Miller's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mailata, you see when Hurts just that fourth and one where Hurts just fell down behind Mailata and Dickerson. Dickerson is not a little guy either, man. If you watch those guys stand up next to each other, the left side of our line, massive.
Mm-hmm.
All Mailata and Dickerson had to do was lock arms and fall forward. And it's who gonna stop Mailata from falling forward?
Nope.
I'll wait. I got all the time in the world. Who's gonna stop it? If he wants to fall forward, guess where he's going? Forward.
Exactly.
So that's like a easy 1 to 2 yard by just being able to get off of Mailata. Thought, man, again, man, Dickerson is doing such an incredible job on that left side. I can't speak on it enough, man. It's such a to get a lineman to come through for you and to play well and to be young. He's 24, 25, something, this is what, rookie, second year?
Yeah.
Dickerson.
Yeah, Dickerson.
To have him.
This is his first year. We drafted him in the third round.
Oh, yeah, he was as a center. He was coming from Alabama.
Center from Alabama, right. Yeah. He's supposed to be Kelsey's heir apparent, but they needed
him. That's where it was.
Because we lost Seumalo, we had Brooks go out, so he's been forced into playing, and he's played excellent. In just, fingers crossed, no injuries, that we keep this going because, the line, Herbig coming in is huge. Mm-hmm. Opetta coming in is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It has been... The offensive line has gone through so many changes this year, and they've come out on top. And again,
the best switch was, I'm sorry, yeah, but the best switch was Dickerson, the left guard. That was the key. I feel like it's such a key piece because he was on the right side. Remember, he was on the right side for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think just little details, man, just him going to that left guard. I don't know. I think it's just underrated.
I think it's helped all the way out because Herbig playing off of Johnson, playing off of Lane, has found his strength. Because you watch, look at Herbig's not a small guy by any means. And you got Kelsey always pulling, so you can run either direction. This is one of the best running offensive lines we've seen in Philadelphia. Pass blocking, they're decent. We get some holds out of Mailata occasionally. But run blocking, this is one of the best lines in the NFL, and I mean that not as a biased homer. I mean that as fact.
They're number one
them all year. They're number one.
The number one team. And the number one rushing team. And there's no argument. So, number one in the league.
No matter who the Eagles get, in this game coming up, and we do. They have flexed it. The NFL has flexed the game to Saturday night at Lincoln Financial Field. So it's an 8:15 start. So you get a nice little Saturday night game. I don't know what's going to happen in this game. I really don't. I don't know what I want to happen in this game, to be honest with you. I would love to see the Eagles win and go 10-7, go into double digits. That would be great. But do I want Hurts out there in the cold in a potential game that doesn't really matter other than they may move up a spot or two? They're still going to have to play Tampa Bay or the Rams most likely. So why would you even care? You definitely don't want, like I said earlier, Sanders out there. Do you want Howard out there? Probably not. But then we got to have Scott. We got to have somebody run the ball. Let's bring in Kerryon Johnson up to practice
squad. I was just about to say that. Kerryon Johnson, Gainwell, and look, man, look, let's why not? You don't want Hurts out there for multiple reasons. For one, you don't need him out there, and he has a high ankle. You know, it takes a while for people to cover from a high ankle sprain. I know it's kind of glossed over, and I didn't even know it was a high ankle sprain until he came back, and I said, damn, that ankle injury was really an injury. He's not the same. When he ran for 6 yards in the one game, that's when I was like, oh shit, he really has an ankle injury. Like this is ailing him. So I think because anything can happen. We're playing some good teams. Minshew hasn't got a lot of burn all year. Why not throw him in there, get him some more burn? In case, I mean, you got some dirty players in this league, man. They'll probably be hunting. It's the playoffs. They're going to be hunting for Jalen Hurts' ankle. He may come out for one or two plays just to get it retaped, or, you know, anything can happen. So I say we start Minshew. We start Kerryon Johnson or Gainwell, mainly Gainwell because he knows the offense.
Right.
I think we sit Goddard. I think we play, what's the 6'6 guy? Like 6'6, 6'7.
Stoll?
No. We play Stoll, and I think it's like Stevenson or something like that. He's like 6'6", 6'8", a tight end we have. He's played a lot.
He's escaped me.
Man, who is this guy's name? But yeah, him. And then, back up the line. We don't want Maialata getting hurt. We've had so many injuries on the line. I don't care about this game. I would like to see Minshew versus, what's his name? What's the backup?
For Dallas? I'd rather see Minshew against Dak, and let's maybe put a little hurt on Dak. But you know,
they're not going to play Dak. That'll be crazy, man.
But you know, for them,
they're
it
not gonna
is.
Play Zach. Not
I don't
play
know
Zeke.
If it's important for them to move up either. They've already got the division locked down. There's a chance they could move up into the third spot, maybe the second, but that's unlikely. It would take the Rams, and both the Rams and Tampa Bay losing, so. Yeah. They could move up one spot. Do they really want to and risk an injury? Do we want Zeke hurt? And I'm with you. I think that this game, it's why we didn't really want to build a good big preview on it, because there's too many unknowns. It's a really tough. You know, the Cowboys, I think, in the game are favored by 6. I don't even – or 5. I think it's 5. I don't even know why you can even put a 5 spot on there, because we don't know what's going to happen. It's just whatever. I think you're right. I think play Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as your wideouts. Let Quez sit. Let Devontae sit.
Devontae Smith, all of them. I know we're coming off a bye week, so they're somewhat rested. To get another week, especially for our line, our big guys.
Yeah.
Man, our big guys getting that much rest. Ooh, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man. If Howard comes in healthy with because I don't know how Sanders bounce back. They probably could put some padding. Maybe he just have to keep practicing with another dominant hand, because you only really need one hand to run the ball. You know, you just can't switch during the sidelines is where it really comes in at. But you should be able to tuck one and have enough padding around the other one to get you through a game. And they're going to be slapping at it or punching your hand for sure. But if Howard, you know, Howard looked about 80% in that last game. You can get Howard healthy, man. And our linemen, just one more day off, just one more day of treatment, just one more massage and get those guys rolling. All that stuff matters to them big guys. That recovery, man, recovery. That's why players take – I'm about to go out the ringer. That's why players take steroids. It's because the recovery. They don't take steroids to get big. You take steroids so you can recover faster than anybody else, and you can do the same thing every single day. That's what it's for. So that treatment, that's why I always go back to that treatment, that rest. Man, it's like steroids to those professional athletes, man. Just getting 2-3 more days off.
I would like to make a disclaimer that this Larry Goes There podcast does not endorse the use of steroids or any performance enhancing drug. Say no to drugs, kids. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Recovery.
It's true. Yeah. You're right. You're exactly right. Is it why they use it? The thing that occurred to me while I was saying it, though, is that this team does have a lot of pride. We've seen in the last few weeks, I've been reading about how every one of the veterans have stepped up. And this is where I'll give Nick Sirianni a lot of credit, is that he's gone to guys like Kelsey, guys like Rodney McLeod, and had them giving pregame speeches to get the team fired up, because they are the leaders on this team. They've been there. And like Sirianni said in one of the postgame interviews, these guys won a Super Bowl a few years ago. I'm not the experienced guy. They are. They should be the ones talking and leading this team. Right. So he's had turned it over to them. They may go into this game, and Sirianni may go to them and say, hey, what do you guys want to do? Do you know, and now, granted, he's going to probably limit Hurts, but he's going to leave it up to some of these guys. Do you want to go out there and beat the Cowboys? Do you? I mean, I can kind of see that happening. I think he's going to leave it up to players. Granted, that's risky, but maybe you want to keep this momentum going and beat the Cowboys riding into the playoffs on a hot streak. You don't know.
It's pretty normal. It's pretty normal. I was listening to, I think it was Michael Irvin. Where he talks about how during this time of the year, people are so tired of hearing from coaches that it's almost nothing the coaches can do anymore. So a lot of your old school, they said Bill Parcells used to do it. They used to let LT talk to the guys, you know, Carl Banks talk to the guys, just a little history on it. And then same thing with Jimmy Johnson. He used to let Michael Irvin talk to the guys, or Troy Aikman take it this week, or Emmitt, towards the playoffs, because it's almost like going into battle. And the king, you want the king on the horse with the sword, somebody that's riding into battle with you. And when you're that broken and beaten down, you not want to hear from a guy that's in the suit. You want to hear from a guy that's just broken and beaten down as you, telling you that we can still do this, we can pull through, we can still keep fighting. Our goal is still right in front of us. And it does hit harder when you're getting it from somebody that's going to be right there in the trenches with you. And I mean, your center. I mean, it's already a captain in itself. The team is literally, the offense is literally centered around him anyway. He's a hell of a leader. It was a good speech. I did listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
They said he was almost on beat Doc left. I'm like, slow down, slow down. Can you feel that?
I was going to mention that. It's like, you know, before this year, we used to get that. Malcolm Jenkins used to always talk to the defense and talk them up. And before that, B-Doc. So the Eagles have a history of these guys stepping up and doing that sort of thing. So I think that, brilliant in the last few weeks for Sirianni to do that. Speaking of Kelsey, one quick video here. This is one of the reasons I love Kelsey, is this is actually going back to the Atlanta game, the very first game of the season, and I just happened to find this one. This is Kelsey after the game and a fan offering him a beer. This is just brilliant.
Kels, I got you a beer, dude. Dude. Dude, here's a beer.
Can I have this?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank
you.
Dude.
Yo, here. Cheers to you, man.
The best part of that video is when he's like, his eyes light up when he realizes it's a beer for him.
So I can have that?
It's just a Bud Light, dude. You can buy as many Bud Lights as you want. But the fact that he's like, he's tired, he's walking off the field, the guy, and so his eyes just light up. That's a beer for me.
Hell yeah. I can have that.
That's one of the reasons.
Good stuff, man. Can you imagine him walking
Kelsey
in the locker
right
room?
Here. I love freaking Kelsey.
Can you imagine him walking in the locker room with a Bud Light? Everybody's like, Kelsey, where you get this? You rob a vendor on the way?
Guy out the stands. He's got a whole bunch of them. So all the Eagles come out.
It's a good moment, man. It's a great moment if you're an Eagles fan to be able to. Because you see, he offered the other guy the beer. The other guy came back for it. He's here toasting with Kelsey. The other guy's like, where's my beer?
Exactly.
I'm sure they gave me one. That was dope, though.
You know what? I did have a moment like that. I'm going to go off topic here just for briefly. But when the Eagles won the NFC Championship game in 2005, I was lucky enough to, I did security for them that whole season because I was in the Air Force and I was doing it as a volunteer basis for the CSC event staff. And by the end of the season, I'd gotten promoted up to where I was doing end zone security. So after the game was over, I was able to escort the players to their vehicles. And, you know, I was getting autographs. After I was done, I hung up my jacket and I was just wandering around the parking lot talking to the players. They had just won the NFC Championship game. They're going to the Super Bowl. And these guys, what really struck me, granted, this is 2005. This is not this team. But what struck me was how much none of them wanted to leave. They were all hanging out, drinking beers in the parking lot with one another. And you had guys like Hank Fraley out there and Javon Kearse, Freddie Mitchell. All of them gathered around in a group, and I walked over, and I knew the punter's cousin, Dirk Johnson, at the time because he was in the Air Force, and I was stationed with him at RAF Croughton. So I mentioned it, and then they asked me, oh, you're in the Air Force, and that just got me an in. Hank Fraley welcomed me in. Next thing I know, I got John Ritchie handing me a Corona out of the back of a pickup truck, and I'm losing it that I'm sitting there drinking a beer with the Eagles who just won the NFC Championship game. And I remember thinking it was their destiny. They were going to go on and win that game against the Patriots again before they got cheated out of it. But that's another story, but not bitter, but it was a great moment. And yeah, so those kind of guys, when they do those things, it's just, it's, and it's what I love about this team, seeing what Jalen Hurts did after that game, seeing what Kelce did. So no matter what happens from here on out, beat the Cowboys on Saturday, whatever, win the playoff game, whatever, this, we can say unequivocally, this has been a successful season.
This 100%,
is a winning season. Back when they were 2-5, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Successful season, 9-7, make the playoffs. Who would have thought on a kind of a rebuilding year, what everybody thought was a rebuilding year. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So we will definitely talk about the upcoming playoff game when we know who they are going to play. Right. But before we get to that, let's talk about your fantasy league that you run there, Tubby. We had the fantasy finals, and the fourth seed takes it all. Hey, Will, what you got to say about that?
I think it's the Monday night game still to go.
Oh, really?
White Rhinos. Yeah, if you see White Rhinos, still has some space there.
Oh, so it's not definite.
So it is not over by no stretch.
So yeah, so it's not over. Yeah, it's
but third looks done. Yeah, yeah, third is done. Yeah, third is done.
So your brother will definitely take third, but I was thinking with the Cleveland and Pittsburgh game tonight, I was like, who cares? But yeah, it does matter for fantasy. I'm
gonna check that real quick.
Yeah, pull that up. Does he have a shot? Apparently he's got 16 points worth of a shot is what the estimated prediction is for that game. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm put up 94 points. I would have had a bad showing. All right, let's see. It's the championship game. All right, let's see who White Rhinos. This boy Daniel Rowe. He's captain in the Air Force. He's stationed over there in Yokota.
Oh, yeah? I like it over there, yeah.
And A. Will, I met him. He's from Fort Collins. He used to buy cheesesteaks from me on my food cart. So White Rhinos had a 26% chance of winning. And he only has Johnson left, Deontay Johnson. So he needs a incredible night.
And Chubb is supposed to be playing, so because it's really not a big game for the Browns. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, he just has Deontay Johnson. Yeah, he needs a miracle.
Yeah, it should be your fourth seed. Should be taking that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. But
congratulations, but we'll give a premature almost congratulations because we won't be back talking about this until next week.
That Burrow comeback put him over the top. I'm looking at it right now. Jordan Burrow's got him 50 points. He had Dak Prescott who got him 42, so it's somewhat of a wash. But anyway, yeah, man.
Crazy good stuff. On him. I know as far good as the on. Picks game goes, normally we cover that on Wednesdays, but we're not going to be here on Wednesday. We need to preview the Dallas game. That we basically said all we really need to say about it at this point. We're just going to see what happens. We don't even know who's going to play. So we'll be back here next Monday night to discuss the Dallas game, whatever happens, and then talk about who the Eagles are going to have as a playoff opponent and kind of look ahead to that game and whenever that's going to be. I'll get everybody up to date on our picks game. Right now, as it stands, just going into the Monday night game, I dropped about 40 points to the leader. However, I have 60 points up on him in the bowl games, so we're actually kind of like in a dead heat going into week 18 of the NFL. And I will say this, going into the picks this week, I don't know who I'm going to pick, but I'm taking a lot of underdogs because last week of the season, when there's nothing to play for,
that's a good point.
It's you just can't take a favorite that's favored by more than three. Because you just don't know who's going to show up for the game. Right. It's probably the biggest year where Vegas could just get over on everybody because the lines are going to be so meaningless. If you're betting this week in Vegas, just say no. Just like say no to steroids, kids, because, again, the Where You Go There podcast does not endorse the use of steroids in any form or any performance-enhancing drug. Anyway, that is what it is.
Smoking if you got him.
Oh, it's a party atmosphere. It's a party atmosphere. I've got a cold or something. Hopefully I don't have COVID coming on, but yeah, yes, I am fired up about this team, about being able to be able to watch a playoff game. Like we said at the beginning, we get one bonus week at least to see our Eagles, and who knows where it goes from there. Thanks for checking out the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. If you're watching us on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live, we will be back again next Monday night to discuss the Eagles-Cowboys matchup, whatever happens in that. If you're listening to us on one of the many podcast providers, we want to thank you for doing that. Make sure you always like and subscribe, whatever format you choose, whether that be Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Audible, Stitcher. We have on just about everything. Podbean, Castro, So we want to thank you for being regular listeners to the show. We got a lot to look forward to coming up because the playoffs are ahead on the horizon. So I'm going to turn it over to Tubby with his final words of the week.
Yeah, man. Congrats to the Birds. Hell of a season. We'll keep fighting and see what we do, man. We just want to see what we can do. See if we have a little Eli Manning season. So that said, man, thanks for checking us out this week. Appreciate y'all. And fly, Eagles, fly.
Well said, well said. And go, Birds. See you next week.